This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
One of our favourite comedians, Tom Ballard, is back with a hot new show. It's called It Is I, which is on as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's already received absolutely amazing reviews. What is it all about? Let's find out. Tom Ballard, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks, mate. Lovely to see you.
It's great to have you as well. Before we get on to your show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, You've also written a book. Now, tell us about, what's it called?
It's called I'm Millennial, One Snowflake Screed Against Boomers, Billionaires and Everything Else.
Screed.
Screed.
Now, screed, isn't a screed a tool that I buy at Bunnings?
All right, we get it. You're real mask, okay? Well, we're all very impressed. No, a screed is a angry rant, basically. And I think the word should come back. I think more people should use it.
Yes,
it's basically just a long, furious rant about the state of things and what you think. And that's a pretty apt description of the book. There's a lot of swearing and personal attacks and cute photos of me as a baby. So there's something for everyone.
What made you want to write it, Tom?
Money. My very smart manager got me a book deal at the start of the pandemic. He said, oh, you're going to be shut inside for a long time. We should get you some kind of writing project. So I very kindly managed this book deal. And then, of course, that makes you think, well, if I were to write a book, what would that be? And I guess I ended up just working, settling on this summary of where my politics have gone over the past 6 years, as the world seems to have gone a little bit cuckoo. And I wanted to try and sum up why I was so angry at the state of the world and the politics and this millennial socialism moment that's been going on, and to try and explain to other young people like me why we're not crazy. It's not, you're not imagining things. Our generation really has been screwed over on a whole bunch of fronts, on work, on housing, on privatization, on education, on wealth inequality and the climate crisis. And I want to explain why that was the case. I'm not making it sound very funny.
No. I'm impressed because I think I often look at the younger generations. And, you know, I was in the supermarket today, for example, And I went in with my reusable bags and I bought a couple of things. And there's, you know, they've got all, they grabbed a handful of plastic bags at the, you know, at the checkout.
Right.
And my toilet paper was, you know, 100% recycled. They had the virgin stuff that had come from some, you know, orangutan forest overseas, assumably. And I thought, why aren't people outraged? Like, why aren't the younger generation doing something about it? So I think it's great that someone like you, through comedy, is writing a book about it.
Well, I'm fixing all the problems through the work of my book and my stand-up comedy. It's the only possible way to create change. I think, you know, look, there are plenty of critiques you can make about millennials, and I've got plenty of jokes about how stupid my generation is and how lazy we are, et cetera, et cetera. But it's important to remember that I think a lot of young people are disengaged and turn off from politics, not because they're selfish or self-entitled, but because they have no other option. They have not seen anything in their life that convinces them that they have the power to actually change stuff. Like we don't know what a union is. Union density's fallen. We haven't seen anything like the anti-Vietnam War movement, you know, make any change in our life. We just feel pretty demoralized and defeated. It doesn't feel like you can do much to change things. So I understand why people switch off. But at the same time, young people, I think, are pretty pissed because we can't afford a house and we're saddled with student debt and the planet's on fire and rich people just seem to be getting richer.
You know? What do we need to do to fix things?
We need to buy Tom Ballard's book and come to his comedy festival show. This is steps
one and two. That will
solve
the world.
That will solve the world. Well, I mean, the book is sort of a clarion call for an anti-capitalist politics. I really think the big problem, the big elephant in the room, is this political economic system we have where people get to own the means of production and all the wealth goes up to the rich people at the top, revolution comrades. But generally speaking, you know, collectivist institutions, joining your union, being involved with a political party, and having a really clear view as to how our society works to help you try and separate the BS from the reality. I think that can be very helpful, yeah.
Do you see comedy as a powerful way to make that change happen?
No.
No? That was Tom Bella.
Look, it's really nice, and people give comedy a lot of credit, I think, and sometimes people say really nice things to me, like, oh, it's so important what you're doing. And obviously that makes, you know, feeds my ego, which is great for me. But the real people doing change are the people who are working in day in, day out, sometimes for no money whatsoever to try and win a better world. I think comedy can remind people of their humanity. Mm-hmm. It can be a lovely little shot in the arm for people who might feel really demoralized by the state of the world. But the idea that comedy is like this thing that's going to change everybody's mind and win people over to leftism, I don't think that's necessarily the case. And overwhelmingly, the people who come and see my comedy are probably pretty much on board already and just need someone to make them feel good and have a bit of a laugh about how ridiculous the world is. Yeah.
Let's talk about your show, which is on as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. I love how you say you survived the plague and went slightly mad.
Yes.
What is different about this slightly mad Tom Ballard?
Well, look, I kind of wrote that in the copy for the show before I'd fully written the show, and I thought maybe I'd be talking more about the fact that I became an uncle and I survived the plague. And during the pandemic, particularly the second lockdown in 2021, when I was writing the book, I went a little bit, woo! And then after a while, I realized, oh, I don't think I want to talk about this. I don't think people want to hear about this. You know, I think you'll find the COVID jokes are few and far between at the comedy festival because people are just like,
cigarette?
Anything else, please. So instead, I've turned my focus on the fact that the Queen died and how I hate the monarchy and we need a political revolution in this country.
You're sounding like Tom the Activist now. Is that what COVID did?
Well, you know, I think people think of me as a messiah and they come to my show for answers and I want to provide them and start a cult.
I love it. It's called, your show is called It Is I.
See, that's a generic title that I wrote before I'd written it as well. Okay, you can tell. You'll see a few of them around the festival. Like, hey, jokes and riddles. What's going on? That's a comedian who has not written their show when they have to submit the show image and the title. That's a little trick.
What can we expect?
Look, the few updates. I talk about the fact that I released a comedy special last year, which nobody watched. Pretty exciting. I'm still with my boyfriend after 3 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So you got through COVID?
Yes, we met right at the start of the pandemic, went straight into lockdown, fell in love. We had nothing else to do. And you really skipped a few stages pretty quickly, mm-hmm. I think, in the pandemic. And we've managed to hold it together. And he is delightful. He's probably the most homophobic person in my life, which is an interesting little twist there. I don't know if you've been called a gay slur by the man who gives you oral sex, but it really really throws you for one.
While he's giving it to you?
No. No, he likes to separate those activities.
Oh, okay, great.
I'm sure one day he'll combine the two. It's a family show.
Very kind of him.
Yes. Those updates. And then I really do sort of get into both the fact that, of course, the Queen passed away last year and it was a massive social moment, mm-hmm. you know, and people reacted in various different ways that I found amusing. And also my gran turned 100 years old.
So I had these fantastic.
Sort of, yeah, these two competing things. I saw my gran, you know, live her life, reached 100 years old and the Queen passing away. And that just brought up a lot of emotions and thoughts about change in this country that I've spun into a hilarious and cathartic hour of hilarity.
It sounds fantastic. So how have the audiences reacted so far?
They've been insane. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night, the first Wednesday night of the festival is the first full price night of the festival. So it's often referred to in disparaging terms by comedians, right? Yeah, Black Wednesday, for example. Okay. But last night, the people who came to my show at 9:15 p.m., God love them, were so into it and so prepared to share their thoughts about everything that I was saying that it was a very weird show, but a real delight and kind of, you know, you get your show together, you run through your jokes, you perform your jokes every night, that's all fine. But the thing that keeps the festival interesting and exciting is all the weird stuff that happens in the room from people. One guy said he was going to steal my books. He'd seen a pile of them because I sell them after the show. He was going to steal. He just yelled out halfway through that he was planning on stealing them. That was cool. Some guy was talking about Joe Orton, the playwright. There was just a lot going on. And I really loved it, actually.
Is each audience different? So does it impact the show overall, according to the audience?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good thing. Like, again, you can kind of go on autopilot if you've done the show heaps of times. Yeah. And I've done the show in Perth and Adelaide and Tasmania. Like, I've done lots of shows before I came to Melbourne. So I know the show pretty well. And the danger is to sort of go on autopilot and just regurgitate the jokes. You really want to be present. And if something happens in the room or if someone says something or maybe you want to trick yourself almost, like change the order of a couple of jokes just to make sure that you're present and you're there and you're doing the show that night in a special way. I think people like that.
And I reckon as an audience member too, we can tell if someone's not present. You can just tell if it's on autopilot. So that sounds great. Now, you've performed all over the world. You've been on Brekkie Radio. You've got your TV show. You mentioned, you said no one watched it. I reckon they did.
Well, tonightly no one watched that. But I released a special last year on Paramount Plus called Enough. And that's not my fault. No one else Paramount Plus. So,
what is it about the Melbourne International Comedy Festival that stands out for you? Because for me, it's a completely unique festival. Mm. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it is the only like pure comedy festival. Not the only, but the biggest only pure comedy festival. So the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is everything. It's got theatre and circus and, you know, dance and like lots of other stuff going on. Melbourne is just about comedy, just about the art of comedy, you know, in all its diversity. So that's really special. You have the best comedians of the world coming internationally, which is awesome. But for me, it's just like this incredible sentimental attachment. So I started getting into stand-up comedy when I was 14 years old, grew up in Warrnambool, little closeted gay kid, desperate for attention. And I used to come up on my school holidays and see like five shows a night. And I just loved it. I would take the Oxfam Gala onto VHS and watch it back again and again and memorize everybody's sets. And for just the magic of Melbourne coming into autumn, Easter happening, and the streets being filled with people who are just going to laugh. And adults whose job it is to just do an hour of jokes every night and have lunches with their friends during the day. That was all just very magical to me. So
I feel like the energy in the city is back this year with the comedy festival. I feel like last year, I think, you know, there were still some cancellations by performers.
Yes, there's COVID left, right, and center.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like this year, it's back to what it was. You can feel that vibe. You could feel the build-up, you know. You've got the lights in there. It's really good. So I'm excited to see your show. Tom, it's been such a pleasure having you in the studio today, and we really want to thank you for coming in and spending some time with us on Joy Drive. Of course,
anytime. I'm a proud Joy member, and will continue to be so.
Thank you. Tom Ballard's show, It Is Eyes, on as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, runs and until Sunday, the 23rd of April at the Victoria Hotel. His book is called I, Millennial, One Snowflake's Screed Against Boomers, Billionaires and Everything Else. Sounds like an amazing read. For more info and for tickets, don't forget, head to comedyfestival.com.au. Thank you, Tom Ballard.
Thanks, mate.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Joy Drive with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.